Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We continue gleaning from the resurrection account of Jesus Christ from the grave in John chapter 20, and in reviewing the section of God's Word, we are looking for some resurrection revelations. And perhaps we can do that best by posing a series of questions. Question number one, what is it the disciples leave behind? What is it that believers in Jesus Christ leave behind? What is it that followers of Jesus Christ leave behind? And I have deliberately phrased that question in three different ways to help you understand that a believer in Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and a follower of Jesus Christ are synonymous terms. They are all one and the same. And that is what the Bible makes clear, and we must resist the modern Christian idea that these represent different levels of Christianity. They all represent the same level of Christianity, and true Christianity is a high level of Christianity, not the low level that I'm afraid some people have defined it as. So back to the question, what is it that disciples leave behind in order to become followers of Jesus Christ? And as we have seen here, there is a sense in which we must leave everything in order to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. They left their nets and followed him. They left their father and mother and brothers and sisters and houses and lands in order to become his disciple. They must take up their cross daily to become his disciple. And I say they because I'm referring to the disciples in Christ's day, but of course it is no different for us. What Christ said to them, he says to us. We must leave our nets to follow him. We must be willing to leave father and mother, brother, sister, houses and lands in order to become Christ's disciple. We must take up our cross daily to follow him. Now, when you talk this way, some people think that you are contradicting the simplicity of the gospel of grace. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We receive God's gift of salvation by faith plus nothing, no works, no merit, nothing that we do. So, on the one hand, you talk about salvation being a free gift received only by faith, and on the other hand, you talk about abandoning your nets and your business and your father and mother and brothers and sisters and houses and land and dying daily to follow Christ, and that sounds like you're contributing a great deal to salvation, contributing a great deal to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And doesn't that seem to be contradictory? In fact, to some people, it is a significant and unreconcilable contradiction, and it is for that reason that some have wrestled with the tension of these seemingly contradictory ideas by saying, to become a Christian requires nothing but faith, but to become a meaningful disciple of Jesus Christ requires these other things. In other words, after you have become a Christian by faith, simply by exercising faith, then you are to become a fruitful disciple, a serious disciple, one who is going to earn rewards in heaven by making these other sacrifices, by dedicating yourself completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, by truly giving up everything to follow Christ, and to the extent to which you do that, to that extent you become a fruitful disciple who will receive great rewards in heaven. But if you don't do any of that, you still are a Christian, and you will be in heaven. You'll be saved, so as by fire. You'll be saved, as it were, by the skin of your teeth, but you'll be there. Isn't that the way that it is usually explained in our day and time? Aren't many of you who are listening to this broadcast happy to explain it that way? Or isn't that the way you've heard it explained and kind of the way you think about it? Well, let me see if I can help you here. What the problem is, the problem is that these passages that Christ makes these statements about leaving father, mother, brother, sister, houses, and lands, taking up your cross daily and following him, those passages, studied carefully in their context, make it clear that he's not talking about a higher level of Christian dedication. He's talking about becoming a Christian at all. We adjust Christ's words to fit our notions, but a careful examination makes it clear that that is not what Christ is saying. So we've got to deal with the text honestly, and when we do, then we've got a problem. We're back to our original problem again. Now, which is it? What does it take to become a follower of Jesus Christ? Faith alone, or faith plus total surrender? Faith plus taking up your cross? Faith plus leaving everything to follow Jesus Christ? Now, which is it? Well, it's obvious that when you put it that way, you really do have a problem. So let's back up for a moment, and let's understand what faith in Jesus Christ is. And maybe there are a lot of different ways to explain it, but let me try to explain it to you this way. We need to understand that faith in Jesus Christ is basically an exchange. It is my life for his life. Now, to receive his life costs nothing. He has provided it. He has paid the price on the cross of Calvary, and he offers it freely to all who will receive it by faith. But here's the catch, you might say. It's not really a catch, it's just something we need to understand more clearly. Nobody can live two lives. Nobody can possess two lives. You have to give up the life you have in order to receive the life which Christ offers. That's saving faith. And the simple fact is, if you're not willing to give up the life which you now have, you cannot receive the life which he offers. The life which he offers costs you nothing, in one way of speaking, but costs you everything, in another way of speaking, because you have to give up your present life in order to receive his life. Let me illustrate it. Let's suppose that I offered you dog life. Nobody'd want it, I don't suppose, but let's suppose that I did. I can give you dog life, no cost to you. But of course, you can only live one life at a time, so you're going to have to give up your life and live the life of a dog. I'm going to put within you the spirit of a dog. I heard somebody illustrate it this way recently, and that's why it's on my mind. What would you say about your cat, if you have a cat, if one day your cat started eating dog food instead of cat food? My cat does that. When she can, I think it's just to aggravate the dog as much as anything, but she'll go get food out of the dog bowl. But what if your cat started eating dog food, started chasing cars, started barking instead of meowing, just started acting like a dog? Though she still looks like a cat, you would say something has happened to this cat. Something's wrong, or something tremendously significant has happened. This is the body of a cat, but it has the spirit of a dog. It's acting exactly like a dog. And you would realize that something had taken place. That's kind of a hypothetical, nonsensical illustration, but it's getting at what I'm trying to help you with here. All right, let's suppose I offer you dog life. Costs you nothing. But you've got to, you can only live one life at a time. You can't live your human life and live your dog life. So if you want dog life, you can have it. And that means what you will do is crawl on, you'll walk around on all fours. You'll bark like a dog. You'll eat dog food. You won't have to work. You won't have to support yourself. You'll be free from all of your worries, but you'll have to live in the doghouse, and you can't have two lives at a time. Now, this won't cost you anything. You can have it without cost, but, of course, you need to understand that to receive it, you have to exchange what you now have for this. And, of course, nobody would want that. Nobody in their right mind would exchange human life for dog life, because human life is so much more valuable than dog life. All right. Now, what if Christ offers to exchange divine life for human life? Now, that exchange is worthwhile. That exchange is appropriate and valuable and well worth giving up my human life, so to speak, in order to have his divine life. It's really not a total giving up of human life, but this is just an illustration. Illustrations are helpful, but they're not perfect because they can't explain every aspect. But what he really does, of course, is come in and take possession of my present human life and turn it into something that it was not before, and it will grow into and eventuate into divine life. It's there now, but it doesn't become completely developed and manifested until we are with the Lord in heaven. But nevertheless, this is it. We get eternal life. We get divine life. We get the life of Christ. And that comes in and replaces our present life. Now, when the Holy Spirit has made me sick of my sin, sick of my present life, has truly brought me to repentance and surrender and conviction of sin, then I am just chomping at the bit, so to speak, to be rid of my present life and to receive his life in exchange. There's no problem here. There's no holding on here. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm eager to exchange my life for his life. But if I'm holding on to my life as dear, if I have not been brought by the work of the Holy Spirit to detest myself, to hate myself, to hate everything about my life, at least to hate it in comparison with the greater life of Christ that is offered to me. This is what it means to hate mother and father and so forth. It's not that we really hate them in any human sense, but in comparison. They become detestable in comparison with the greater life that is in Christ that we receive in exchange. And so here it is. You can have the life of Christ, and there's no cost to you. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. It's not only that there is no cost, that there's no cost demanded. There's no cost possible. It's not possible for you to pay what this is worth, and it's not possible for you to pay what is required. Christ did that for you, but you do understand you have to exchange. You can't live both lives, so you've got to exchange yours for his. And therein lies the proper explanation of this seeming enigma. And that's why true disciples of Jesus Christ give up everything in order to become followers of Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.